Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
If you had a child today, would you vaccinate that child for measles?
For measles? Probably for measles. But I don't think people should be taking advice, medical advice, right, from me.
Oh, smack. Okay. have you seen this clip? Have you heard this clip? This was all over the news yesterday that you had RFK Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services, goes and gets grilled at the Appropriations Committee in the House. And Representative Mark Pocan, I think that's how you say it, P-O-C-A-N. Could be Pocan, I suppose. But anyway, he's from Wisconsin, so bleh. He's a Democrat. And RFK comes out and says, don't take medical advice from me. And that's the headline. Okay. I mean, these words got said. But John, what do I always say about these speeches, about these hearings, about any kind of event, about the county commission meeting, city council meeting, you know, whatever, Trump speech? You got to watch the thing. Or at least you've got to make sure that the version you've heard is the full in-context, right nuance, right tone, right? Because with editing, I mean, I edit all the time, okay? With editing, you can intensify, you can change, you can shift, you can embarrass. There's all kinds of things you can do with editing. So what's the rule with editing? Don't do any of that, right?
Well, some people don't follow that rule.
You mean they don't have ethics?
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So again, one more time for comparison. This is the as played on the news clip.
If you had a child today, would you vaccinate that child for measles?
For measles? Probably for measles. But I don't think people should be taking advice, medical advice, right, from me.
Okay. Here's how it happened in context. It's a longer clip, no surprise. But here's how it happened within the context of the conversation. Again, Representative Mark Pocan is going to ask Secretary of Health and Human Services, RFK Jr.
Trying to get to know you, there's some public things that, you know, make you somewhat of a conundrum to people like me, just trying to, you know, understand. One is on vaccines, and I don't want to ask you about, you know, all the specific theories on vaccines, but something that might be helpful is you've previously said you vaccinated your children. Just because I think this is a helpful answer, and this isn't a gotcha, I promise. If you had a child today, would you vaccinate that child for measles?
For measles? Probably for measles. You know, what I would say is my opinions about vaccines are irrelevant. I have directed Jay Bhattacharya.
Sure. No, like I said, I don't want to.
So that everybody can make that decision. But I don't want to seem like I'm being evasive.
Yeah.
But I don't think people should be taking advice, medical advice,
right,
from me.
Right. No, I got that. And I'm not asking you to give them medical advice, but would you vaccinate your child for measles?
I think if I answer that question directly, that it will seem like I'm giving advice to other people, and I don't want to be doing that. I want people to make
But that's kind of your jurisdiction, because CDC does give advice, right? I'm not trying to do it as a gotcha. It's just kind of...
I think what we're going to try to do is to lay out the pros and cons, the risks and benefits, accurately as we understand them, with replicable studies.
A completely different tone. A much more amicable tone. It's a longer clip. Oh, I understand if you're doing a 30-minute, you know, TV newscast, you got to punch it up. You know, you got to get your, you know, 8 to 12 seconds is all you can afford. Well, sometimes in the manufacturing of an 8 to 12-second clip, you lie by playing the real words. You know, I'll just say, when I'm editing sound clips, I'm reluctant to take out pauses. I'm reluctant to take out breaths and ums and ahs. I do once in a while. But and I'll be honest, I'm reluctant at times. Somebody will ask a question, like a two-parter, and the person will answer part two, but I'm more interested in part one. I'm even reluctant to take out their long, rambling part two answer and just play the question and the answer that are relevant. But if I really don't believe that it is changing any of the tone or the context, I'll do it. Because the number one rule in editing anybody is never edit them in such a way that they wouldn't feel like it's been done faithfully. Because if you change somebody's tone, their presentation, you just grab a clip here and a clip there and you punch up, you're lying. By playing a fact, you're lying because it didn't happen that way. That's true whether you make them sound smarter, like Kamala Harris on 60 Minutes, or you make them sound dumber, like is routinely done for our president. And in this case, I think was done. It makes him sound like he's a hypocrite. You know, why can't he give information? Why he gives information, all he gives. What he's saying in a much more longer answer is, I just feel like you ought to learn, you know, Jay Bhattacharya, the head of NIH, you should, he's going to present information and people should make decisions for themselves. And it's not that I don't have an opinion and I don't want to evade your question, but if I give an answer, it sounds like I'm giving advice and I don't want people to take the advice from me. I want them to think for themselves. My framework is not expert give, uninformed person obey. My framework is teach, educate, present, and then you as informed citizen then can decide for yourself. Like, it's just a completely different framework. And again, the tone is not confrontational in the way the original clip was played. And there's a follow-up here that I think is interesting that kind of gets at the same thing. Now, he could be disingenuous. I mean, Mark Pocan could be pretending to be genial in order to elucidate a, you know, an embarrassing response. I don't know this guy at all, but he seemed pretty straightforward to me. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with the new annual contract. Call Insect today. Still dealing with the light out at Old Palafox and Beverly Parkway, so definitely use caution in that area. And we're starting to see some backups on 98 eastbound just east of our Beach Bridge. About a 7 to 9 minute congestion delay there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. John, you're a Christian?
Yes.
You've read the Bible?
Right.
More than once?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, more than
once. Once this year, I think, right?
Yes, yeah, I already read it this year. Yeah.
What's the golden rule?
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Okay. So edit unto others as you would have them edit unto you. And what is the principle there is treat other people the way you would want them to treat you. Treat them in a way that would honor you. And in the case of, you know, editing media issues, only edit people in such a way that when the person you're editing hears it, they think, yeah, that's fair. In fact, by the way, the best way you can ever criticize somebody is to offer a criticism that when the person you're criticizing hears it, they say, ah, yeah, you got me. Right? You know, like, even if they disagree or think that you're, you know, wrong, at least they would say, but you were fair in the way you presented it. Because if you have to be unfair in the way you present it, if you have to slant it, skew it, change it, distort it in any way, it becomes a lie. It becomes a slander or a libel. It becomes a, you know, the kind of thing that is really unethical. Okay, so back to this, you know, Representative Mark Pocan, and, you know, no offense to him. I just mean the way this has been treated by the media, and you say, well, Andrew, that's not surprising. Okay, there's two parts to this. It's a part of, and here's how it gets done wrong. It's a part of learning to be a better consumer of media, but it's also, honestly, it can be done right. It can be done well. It can be done honorably, faithfully, ethically, decently, Christianly. Okay. Here's the second part where he asks about chickenpox and polio.
Can you talk about chickenpox? Would you vaccinate your child against chickenpox?
I don't want to give advice. I can tell you in Europe, they don't use the chickenpox vaccine specifically because the preclinical trial shows that when you inoculate the population from chickenpox, you get shingles in older people, which is more dangerous.
Just one last one, just a yes or no, please, if we could. Polio?
Again, I don't want to be giving advice.
That's fair. No, that's fair. I was not doing it as a gotcha. I thought it could be helpful if...
I was specifically not doing this as a gotcha, but your reporters are going to turn it into an opportunity for a gotcha, right? So, yeah. I don't know whether it's malicious. I don't know whether it's stupid. I don't know whether it's somebody just feeling the need to make it more interesting and entertaining than it is. But again, the bedrock rule, the golden rule, is do it in such a way that even if the person you're criticizing heard it, they would agree that it was fair. That's all. 620 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter-pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What? Oh.
Good morning, 622 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. President Trump wrapping up his swing through the Middle East today. Yesterday, he announced some new deals between Qatar, Boeing, and the U.S. Department of Defense. Boeing is selling billions of dollars worth of planes to that country, and the DOD is selling some drones to them as well. The Supreme Court hears arguments today over a hot-button issue related to President Trump's order to end birthright citizenship. The case before the Supreme Court isn't directly about the constitutionality of the order, but it focuses on the scope of which lower courts can issue nationwide injunctions.
Yeah, this is going to—I mean, this is a really interesting case, and not for—as we talked about this a little bit yesterday, as you said, not because it's about birthright citizenship, although that's the— That's eventually going to be the Supreme Court question. The real question here is whether a judge in a limited jurisdiction in Utah or California or Florida or Georgia can issue a nationwide injunction on the enforcement of an executive order. And under what circumstances? What are the, you know, the Supreme Court could even come back with some kind of a scheme that talks about the significance or the presumptive unconstitutionality of something. And, you know, the concern is fair. You know, on the one hand, you don't want non-plaintiffs with non-standing to be able to be affected by the ruling in a particular judge in a particular jurisdiction where you often jurisdiction shop. But at the same time, if the president is doing unconstitutional things or things that look likely to be unconstitutional, you should be able to protect everybody everywhere from that. It shouldn't have to be only the plaintiffs, the people who are willing to actually go sue, because the enforcement or the inaction of that executive order could affect everybody in an adverse way who can't afford to go through the suing process. So, I mean, this is a real and people say, like, well, that's just because people side with illegal immigrants, because that's what this is about, right? Birthright citizenship. what if the president issued an executive order to stop the sale of all semi-automatic rifles at the, you know, 223 ammunition? Well, it's unconstitutional. You shall not, you know, infringe, right? Well, what if a judge said, yeah, that's clearly unconstitutional, or it leaked, seems like it will be. I'm going to enjoin that against the whole nation. The argument on the other side is, well, just the judge in that one place, everybody else should have to suffer the consequences. No, I mean, there's a reason that you issue a nationwide injunction. And there's also inappropriate use of it, too. Anyway, sorry, David, I interrupted you, but that's just, I think it's a really good question. Especially because Trump is doing a lot of things that they look unconstitutional. And so this is a tool for combating that, regardless of how it turns out. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
It'll be very interesting to see how this turns out. A copy of the Magna Carta, Andrew, that's been sitting in the Harvard Library for 80 years, apparently has turned out to be one of the originals from 1300.
Not a photocopy?
No, not a photocopy. The New York Times says the faded parchment was purchased by Harvard for $27 in 1946. I think that was probably a good investment. It received little attention until about 2 years ago when two British professors found it. After some authentication work, they discovered that it was one of these seven original copies and is probably worth millions.
Wait, okay, I'm gonna nitpick. Can I nitpick?
Nitpick away, sir.
What in the world is an original copy?
Well,
wouldn't that be first edition?
No, that's the exact right terminology. Yes, it's fascinating to have, you know, like the Declaration of Independence, any of these original documents that were several, you know, when you say copy, people sat down and wrote it out like five times. And Then they sent it around, then people made other copies eventually. But no, that's why, for, what did you say, $27?
$27 in 1946.
Of course, in 1946 money, that's like $3 million today. So, you know, just kidding. David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. Even 98 and Highway 90 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, did you see Poland? You may not have. Poland is preparing for war with Russia. They share a border, right? Okay. Poland is somewhat east of Ohio. I never know what to take for granted. I never know what to take for to assume that people know. Okay, Poland is, you know, vaguely what, between Germany and Russia. Okay, does that help? I don't know. Where's Germany? Stop. Okay, so Poland on that. No, but you know, people, Americans especially, don't know geography, international geography, and so it's never want to take for granted what people don't know. Well, where's Germany? Okay, anyway. Here, come. Let me show you this globe. So Poland is putting up tank resistant, you know, like, what are they called? Hedgehogs. That's the little, it looks like a attack, you know, looks like it's got four prongs that all come out at different angles. So it's designed, you can't write, like you see on the beaches at Normandy, although those are usually six-sided, these are four-sided. But the hedgehogs, they've been putting them up on miles and miles and miles of the border with Russia. So it'll be a layer of a couple of hedgehogs. They're big concrete structures that are, I don't know, like maybe 5 feet tall. Something like that. And the idea is that when a tank rolls over, the tank doesn't roll over it. It gets basically beached on its own momentum. So you can't just roll tanks across this line. And then it's got, you know, ditch work, and they're building defenses against Russia in Poland. They think, I mean, they watched Ukraine and they're thinking, well, what can we do? So now I don't know that the hedgehog is the end-all, be-all of defensive maneuvering. You know, it will slow them down a little bit, but, you know, just send a couple of, what do you call them, cherry pickers or excavators or something up there to move them, you know, move them out of the way and then roll the tanks through. And it's not the biggest, best defensive, but it's something, and it's an interesting statement. Poland also, by the way, just a side note, you know how historically Trump keeps talking about getting the member states of NATO to spend more on their military? And he's bragged, and rightly so, about getting NATO member states to spend a higher percentage of their GDP. It's not a fee. It's not he says it in a way that makes it easy to misunderstand. It's not about them paying their dues to NATO. It's about them paying a share of their GDP into military so that they are prepared to be an ally if push ever comes to shove. And, you know, we kind of worry that push will be coming to shove at some point. But anyway, they're up to 5%. That's more than we spend on military. I think we're 3.33, something like that. So at 5% is actually very high. And good. I mean, and also, you know, Poland has seen this movie before a couple of times. So from different directions, right? 6:29 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Starbucks baristas are upset that they're being made to wear a uniform underneath their green apron. A black shirt, black khakis kind of homogenous look, a coffee ground sort of look, if you will, that they can't have as much individuality as they used to have. And they're saying that this should have been done. There's union shops, right, in Starbucks. And so they're pushing back and striking and upset. And, hey, I kind of understand. I mean, I'm in radio. One of the luxuries of radio, John, is
we get to wear what we want.
Anything we want.
That's acceptable for business.
If you came in and forced me to dress a certain way, I might find a different job, too. So we'll see.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Supreme Court hears a case this morning about orders blocking President Trump from ending birthright citizenship.
The court won't be deciding the final interpretation of the Constitution's 14th Amendment, that is, the guarantee of citizenship to virtually everyone born in the U.S. The issue before the justices is whether lower court judges can block presidential policies nationwide with what are known as universal injunctions.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. President Trump's next Middle East stop is the United Arab Emirates after signing new economic agreements in Saudi Arabia and Qatar, where he addressed American troops today.
Qatar will also be investing $10 billion to support this massive base in the coming years, and there's no place like it, they say.
This is the Al Udeid Air Base, the largest U.S. military installation in the Middle East, hosting more than 10,000 American troops. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.375. Right now, it is partly cloudy in Pensacola. Well, a proposal for a 1% tax on Pensacola Beach aimed at funding infrastructure and safety is now on the table. It was presented last night by local business owner Mike Pinzone at the Santa Rosa Island Authority meeting as an alternative to the proposed 1,100% MSBU increase for commercial businesses on the beach.
I think for this one, it was such a huge increase on the beach, not just the beach residents, but really the beach commercial properties. You had a lot of people say, hey, wait, we've got to do something. Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's put some ideas out there.
And that is Escambia County Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger. Of course, that will be up for discussion at tonight's Escambia Board of County Commissioners meeting. Pinzone said that his proposal could potentially generate $8 to $10 million a year for the beach community, and he said it could be used for safety issues and also to build a parking garage on the beach. The Island Authority plans to put that on a list of several options up for discussion at a meeting next month. The Board of Commissioners, again, also discussing the MSBU fee issue at tonight's meeting, which starts at 5:30. Well, Live Nation giving music fans a chance to buy tickets to some of the summer's biggest concerts at a discount next week. They're launching their $30 Ticket to Summer program. More than 1,000 concerts at select venues across North America will be part of that deal. Acts taking part in the deal include Dierks Bentley, Halsey, Keith Urban, Black Keys, Keisha. A lot more concerts being added to the special deal throughout the summer. Abortion opponents claiming a legal victory. A state appeals court yesterday ruling that allowing minors to get abortions without parental consent is unconstitutional. All three judges said that would violate a parent's due process rights. Some new information on the black bear hunt. For this December, the FWC releasing some of its proposed rules for that hunt. Of course, the goal is to manage the black bear population. One of the rules the commission is considering at a meeting next week is whether to allow dogs. Hunters may also be able to shoot bears within proximity of game feeding stations. Critics are worried those rules are favoring the hunters just a little bit too much. Well, a Bay County attraction drawing attention from state investigators. Officers from the Department of Environmental Protection served a warrant at the Gulf World Marine Park in Panama City Beach yesterday. The DEP didn't release any details on that warrant, but it comes after the city inspected the facilities 2 months ago. Panama City Beach's mayor tells News 13 the problems were found in the sea turtle pool and the stingray petting pool. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but we're still dealing with a traffic light that's out at Old Palafox and Beverly Parkway. So definitely use caution in that area. I-10, I-110, 98-90, Highway 29 are running delay free. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And 6:35, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Mostly sunny skies today with a high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. On Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 85. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping the sunshine around on Saturday with a high near 87 and a low near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 75 right now, partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
We Care Home Hotline, you're on with Woody.
Hey, Woody, have you ever heard an air conditioner this loud?
No, but the good news is We Care has more than 10 years in business and thousands of positive reviews, so our HVAC, plumbing, and electrical teams can get it fixed and fast.
Thanks, Woody.
No one cares like We Care. Schedule online at wecareheatandair.com.
Tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Regeneration Station will be here discussing how they can help individuals relieve severe pain through their latest in Scalar and Biophotonic Energy Room. This can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing right and left hemispheres of the brain to increase energy levels. It's the Regeneration Station today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 6:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Wes Moreno. He is the Escambia County Administrator. We have an unusual meeting today. It's not a morning meeting. It's not a night meeting. It's an after-lunch meeting. It's a 1:30, if I'm not mistaken. Wes, is that correct? 1:30 today?
Yeah, I think the strategy is to go get a big lunch and everybody kind of get docile and sleepy and we don't have too much excitement.
Everybody's going to come back. You know, they've had their burger. Maybe they've had a beer, and everybody's going to get along better. And hopefully not everybody falls asleep. But, you know, we'll see. It's an interesting try. Something that we didn't talk about the last time, but I want to make sure that we cover, because even though it's not in today's meeting, I think it's really interesting. The proposal or the decision to relocate the ECAT central offices to north on Pace. There's like this right across from the radio station. There is a field, undeveloped area, which I guess is where it's going to go. Is that the idea?
That is the idea. We, you know, we got a $30 million grant from HUD to do that relocation. So we are starting our due diligence there. Our environmental, got to go through all the steps. You know, HUD will have to review our environmental, review our plans every step of the way, but we have started that process and looking forward to that. I think the new ECAT station will certainly match the new Flex Transit initiative that we have going on. And so hopefully you'll see a more modern station and less big buses and just a more efficient initiative there. And I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, man, that is music to my ears. You know, you and I have talked over the years many times about ECAT and, you know, are these particular large buses serving the needs of the community properly and, you know, minimizing cost? Obviously, having, you know, semi or mostly empty buses driving around doesn't help anybody. But you guys are kind of moving into the more adaptive transit with some of the, you know, micro transit, basically using vans to get people around. I think, if I'm not mistaken, for now, it's only in the paratransit. But I think the goal is to move to where you're using a combination of big buses and vans, depending on the needs of the route. Is that right?
That is correct. We have some more vehicles on order coming in and to expand that service. And, you know, the cool thing about that service is you have an app on your phone, or you can call and schedule your trip, or you can do it online. And you follow the little dot when they're coming to pick you up. And they pick you up, and they take you right, you know, right where you're going. It's door-to-door. They don't take you to the hub. It's door-to-door. And so that's a huge change for our business model and what we've been doing in the past. So it seems to be working out well, and we'll get people signed up for it, and then we'll keep moving in that direction.
It's a Escambia Uber or something like that. But, I think it makes sense. It's always born out of the interest of serving the customer better and also reducing costs. And, you know, who can argue with either of those things? You have, I think, the – maybe not the biggest thing, but it's definitely one of the big things on the agenda today is ratification of the fire union contract, finally. Is that right?
It is, yeah. It's on the agenda today, and that is a big thing. You know, we've been working hard at this. You know, when I stepped into this role 4 years ago, we didn't have a single union contract buttoned up, and so we just started going to work. So this is round two, and so all of our union contracts will again be buttoned up after the ratification of the fire today. A lot of hard work by the guys at the fire union and the membership, and a lot of hard work by staff. It's not easy. Union negotiations are not easy. It's probably one of my least favorite things to do, but it is a necessary thing. It has to be done. So I am proud to be able to say that we're buttoning that up. It's good for the firefighters, and it'll take our incoming firefighters from about right now annual compensation, 42 and some change, to about 52 and some change. And so then it'll go up the scale from there for your more senior level firefighters.
So for the introductory level, it's an almost 25% pay increase, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's fantastic. And, you know, I know people kind of fixate on the per hour, but firefighters get paid a little bit different way. So it is more useful, I think, to think about that as the annual wage. Congratulations. You know, that's good. And you said there's also some pay bump in there for the like lieutenants and for the mid-levels. Is that right?
Absolutely. They have a new scale. They presented a scale. We came back with a scale. We came to agreement on it. So they have a scale now that they'll push to. Some of it has time in service or time in position as to where they push up to on the scale. And then they will also get anything that the rest of the county gets. You know, we get a 3% or 4% or 2%, you know, they'll get that as well.
So okay.
It's a good deal for them. You know, 4 years ago, it was 32 to come in the door. So we've made a lot of progress in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I wish we didn't have to pay so much, but you do have to pay so much in order to keep competitive with other counties and other areas where they would certainly, you know, and have been many times snagging our firefighters because, you know, we produce great firefighters with excellent experience because we run a lot of calls. And, you know, other places would gladly get our experienced people after a couple of years. The probably the headline item on the, and I think that is a big deal. The other headline item on the agenda, P&J had a good article about this, but the Advanced Traffic Management System, or the regional ATMS, I've been calling it the ATMS for years. You and I have talked about this so many times. This is sort of finally at the starting gate. Is that right?
That is right. So the last few steps for us to start construction and or start the procurement process for construction. And, you know, if you remember, the county donated the property to the CPO, the FDOT, and we're in charge of managing the construction of the building. But once it's built, it'll be owned by FDOT and TPO, and it will also house the regional planning council there in that building. And we won't, you know, we'll be out of it after that. So we're going to fulfill our role and get it built. We've been doing a lot of plan review to make sure that we think we can bring it in on budget and on time for sure. And so that's on the agenda today to get that kicked off.
I want to talk about this a little bit more in a second. We're talking to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. Hang on for just a second, Wes. We've got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the traffic light that's out at Old Palo Fox and Beverly Parkway. So just take caution in that area. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. On the Advanced Traffic Center, the Regional Advanced Traffic Management Center that you and I have been, again, talking about for years and years. This is a building. It's going to be at W Street, right, by the Emergency Operations Center. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. And for people who don't know, this is the place out of which you will, well, FDOT, will operate, oversee, and improve the management of the almost 400 traffic lights in our region. Everything from the Pensacola Beach Light to things on Brent and Davis to things in Santa Rosa County on Highway 98 and Highway 90, in an effort to, in real time, instead of having a traffic cop sit there and make it work better, in real time, remote activate it in order to flush traffic, alleviate traffic. Perdido Key, like every part of the two-county area, is designed to benefit from this, right?
That is correct. And there's some collateral projects going on to run the fiber to support it. So there's some things going on collaterally, I think currently, rather. And so it'll all come together. It's going to be a state-of-the-art facility, and it'll greatly improve our traffic management throughout the area.
What is the – see, because I know we're doing a lot of this work now. I mean, we are doing remote operation of a lot of these traffic lights now, and I know we're in the process of upgrading some of the different signals to have the interoperability so that we can control them remotely, have the cameras, all of that stuff. What will be the big functional difference between where we're at now and when this center actually gets built and is running?
Well, I think you said a minute ago that it's a two-county area thing. A lot of fiber being run. We're running fiber down 29 right now. We're running fiber, going to be running fiber down W Street toward Navy Boulevard. And that will just expand out. I think it gives us more ability to see what's going on in all the different intersections and the areas of the county. I think it's going to allow us to analyze different intersections for crashes and such, and things that will just give us more tools in the toolbox to be able to better manage our traffic.
When somebody is in traffic somewhere, the idea here, as I understand it, and it's already true in a lot of places, is when you're frustrated because it's a red zone on the map, you guys already know that, right? And you're already trying to work on alleviating that, at least generally speaking. And certainly that's the goal, right?
We do have the ability to look at different areas. I think, you know, now we kind of rely on eyes and ears. I know, like, for you instance, we'll send a text message, hey, this light's out or on flash mode or something's going on with it. Maybe y'all need to look at it. And I think this would be a little more automated for us, and maybe not. We'll always still rely on the eyes and ears of our citizens. I think this will give us the ability to be a little more proactive in the management of our traffic.
It's great. I've been excited about this for years. So this is I can't believe we're finally kind of getting there. I did want to ask about the Bay Center Committee. This is what is it? 11 people that are going to be on this committee, and it's really designed to make decisions, and then these same people are going to stick with it all the way through implementation, right? And it's everybody from, you know, city council, mayor's office, Escambia Commission, I forget all the people that are on the committee, but it's a big committee that's designed to encompass everybody's interests and then hopefully ultimately get to where we have a better Bay Center and serves everybody, right?
Yeah, so this it's a discussion item today, and you know, that's a proposed makeup of a committee from the county's perspective. You know, the board will have some discussion. Maybe they make some revisions or some changes. We've had, as you can imagine, certain other folks throughout the community, hey, I want to be on that committee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's folks that have legitimate interest in what happens at the Base Center. I think the goal of that committee is going to be to manage or at least have input into a master plan around that area that I think the mayor is wanting to do. You know, we're studying the Base Center itself. I think the mayor has a vision to master plan the area around the Base Center, and I think that's what this committee is going to concentrate on.
Okay, yeah, which makes perfect sense to me. That's, I think, the right approach to figuring out, you know, what do we have, what do we need, what do we want, what can we afford, you know, and then let's figure out the best way forward. There's a ongoing conversation at the state level. The governor wants to eliminate property taxes for homestead properties. The House ostensibly wants to do something as well. The problem is very complicated. It's a lot more complicated than people realize. I was just listening to one of the House hearings on this yesterday. There's a lot of complication here. First of all, A, property tax is a massive slice of your budget. I'm guessing it's probably in the like 30% range, something like that. You tell me if I'm wrong. But that's a huge slice of your budget. And B, not knowing yet what they're going to do, are you doing anything yet to really plan for this? Because it's hard to plan for, but I'm just wondering, is the county looking at this yet, and what would we do if?
We are listening right now. You know, we have our state lobbyist that's keeping us informed of things, and we're asking some questions. We're keeping an ear to the ground, that's what we're doing right now. You know, we have a lot of fee officers, fee users, and, you know, this year our budget was about, the year we're in right now, is about $800 million. We only control about a third of that budget, you know, because that budget controls the clerk's office, the tax collector's office, property appraiser's office, state mandates that come down and come through that we're required to pay for. There's a portion of it goes to the sheriff's department. So there's a lot of things involved when you start talking about property taxes and doing away with them or coming up with a new methodology to fund county operations. Because it's more than just the Board of County Commissioners' county budget. It affects all of your constitutional offices, really. And so it's a big thing. So we're right now, what we're doing, we're listening, and we're just trying to stay apprised of where the discussion seems to be going.
I remember there was an item maybe a month or two ago, but I'm not quite sure what became of it. Out in front of the jail, there is that big empty property, which is an eyesore ever since the mall there and the homestead kitchen all got torn down years ago. And the goal originally was to have a kind of a revitalization effort in that part of town, which can certainly use it. Last I heard, I thought we were doing some kind of a community center / employment facilitation office or something like that. Where is that process at? And am I right in thinking that's what kind of the goal is right now?
Yeah, there was a concept to do like a business incubator / community center, or Boys and Girls Club or something. I would say that idea was more of a concept. We did do a procurement for a study, if you will, but we really not pushed it out. If you recall, right after that, it's about the same time that the folks in the Englewood community became a little upset with the McMillan, sale of the McMillan School, or, you know, affordable housing, transitional housing, low barrier shelter, whatever their plans are for that. And so they were a little upset. They were actually more upset about that than they were about Pace and Fairfield. But, you know, Commissioner May went over there and did a town hall, and he took some input, and we'll continue to take some input over there. But we don't have any immediate plans to bust off on anything right there at that intersection just yet.
Okay, because I drive past there a lot, so I think about it a lot, and, you know, kind of the what was the goal and what's there now, and, you know, it's it's disappointing we don't have something because, you know, looking at a jail is one thing, but looking at a bunch of businesses or anything, you know what I mean? Like if we could have anything there, that seems like it'd be, you know, a benefit for the community. Last thing for today, Wes, is we have a resurfacing is on the agenda for today. Roads, Inc. is going to get about a $4.3 million contract for resurfacing for the community spread across all the districts. This is perennially kind of a question, and I, you know, in the past, I know former commissioners, particularly Doug Underhill, had always said, we just aren't spending enough on resurfacing. We need to spend more if we have this many roads and it costs this much and we have to redo them every 20 years. $4 million sounds like a lot. It's not, given the size of our county. Is that enough money on an annual basis to really properly maintain our roads, in your opinion?
Well, from a resurfacing standpoint, I think, you know, the thing was always used to be said, we need to resurface every single road in the county, and that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
Every road in the county does not need to be resurfaced all the time. But yeah, we can always use more resurfacing money. You have roads like W Street that runs from, you know, 29 all the way down to Navy Boulevard that we're responsible for, and there's areas there that definitely need attention, and so that's a big project. And then we have large roadways, shared roadways, if you will, that need attention. So there's hardly ever what I would call enough money for resurfacing. We can, the one thing I love about resurfacing, you can impact an area very quickly and really make a huge improvement there in certain areas of the county. But, you know, we try to do worse first. We do have a road analyzation contract that we just put into place where they're going to come in with a specialized vehicle with lasers and rut bars and video cameras and all these things to do our road analyzation that will tie into our pavement management system, and which will help us better prioritize which roads come up on top of the list.
And I know a lot of the funding, at least, is supposed to come from, like, local option gas tax, you know, but that doesn't even come close to paying the bill, right?
No. I mean, we will always have a heavy lift in resurfacing. It just is what it is.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's where we're at.
I mean, I know it's a kind of a – it's a pro forma matter on the agenda, but it's like – the things that people really think the county should be doing or could be doing or ought to be doing better. And, you know, that's one of those, like, you know, roads and keep and maintaining them. It's a big job and it's very expensive. And if you want it done better, it's going to cost more to do it. Wes Marino, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Again, the meeting today is at 1:30, so it's an odd time. Everybody can be, you know, relaxed and happy after their meal. Wes, thanks for the time. As always, I appreciate you giving us a bunch of information before the meetings when they happen. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All right, man. We'll see you now.
Absolutely. 656 News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Light bulb.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump wrapping up his swing through the Middle East today. He announced some record-breaking new deals with Qatar, Boeing, and the Department of Defense yesterday. Boeing is selling billions of dollars worth of planes to the country. The DoD selling several drones as well. A New Jersey transit engineer strike appears to be on the horizon and on track to bring trains in that state to a halt for hundreds of thousands of commuters. Those contract talks, though, are underway now. And apparently, Andrew, men are up to two times as likely to die from broken heart syndrome compared to women. New research coming out of the University of Arizona looked at the broken heart syndrome, officially called Takotsubo cardiomyopathy.
No, I'm not saying that.
Me neither. But the condition is brought on by extreme stress or emotional distress.
So we need them more than they need us.
Essentially.
That's the newsflash?
That's it.
I think we all suspected this was true.
Listen on air at 92.3.